of who he was. And I used to read Bible stories at school, and or they'd be read to me, should I say, and I used to understand the illustrations and the pictures. And it wasn't until I was 30, some 31 years ago, that I was presented with the gospel, the good news about our Lord Jesus Christ, and realised that it's for me to make a decision. But I found this. When I was talking to my friend, I said to him, the problem is, when you're on the inside looking out, you see one thing, but when you're on the outside looking in, you see a completely different thing. You know, you see the hypocrisy of religion. You see all the downside of it instead of the upside of it. As I said to you earlier, you know, Jesus doesn't promise that all will be well, but he promises us that we will be able to walk with him. And there was one of our hymns, there was a line in that that said this, and that really sums it up. It says, no guilt in life. Does that mean we don't do anything wrong? No, of course it don't. But it means if we keep short accounts with God, he keeps short accounts with us. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to free the world, to bring salvation. And last week I asked the question, how much does God love us? And it's this much. He died the ultimate death so that we could live. No fear in death. And that's very apt for today, isn't it? No fear in death, but there's a lot of fear about. The Bible says, perfect love casts out all fear. The Bible also says that Jesus says of himself that he is love. He is the beginning, he is the end, he is the Alpha. God also, during worship I wrote this down, God also loves you enough to give you the choice to choose. When I was 30 years old and I heard this message of salvation, didn't understand it, I was on the outside looking in, but I wanted to be on the inside looking out. So I said yes. I raised my hand to an appeal 6 weeks on the trot, because I thought, well, surely I should feel something. Surely there should be a hand that comes out of the sky like the old lottery adverts. It's you. But no, I didn't feel anything. And nothing changed in my life. And yet I'm thinking, well, you're preaching this message. You're saying that Jesus is who the Bible says he is. He's my Lord. He's my Saviour. He's my comforter. But how come I don't feel comforted? How come the things that went wrong yesterday went wrong today as well? And it was a journey that I was on. I realised that the spirit of truth that the Bible talks about came to live within me. And the first time I experienced God in my life was when he convicted me of things I'd said to somebody else. What I said I stood by, but my attitude was all wrong. And suddenly, someone who struggled with saying I'm sorry said, I'm sorry, and I experienced God in my life. So I want to share some scripture with you today. I want to share the good news. And I do speak fast and I do read fast. So there's a lot in this, and maybe you'll understand it, maybe you won't. The Bible says, do you have ears to hear and eyes to see? Then I pray that you will. You'll see the heart of God. You see, what I say is not important. It's what he says through me that's important. It's what his word says. And everything in this church that is ministered comes from the Bible, the biblical text, in context, not out of context. There's things that I can say that the Bible says and I can put a spin on it. But you as individuals need to check out what God's word says. Is he who he says he is? Someone asked me over the last week, well, you know, you became a Christian. Why was that? And I said, well, I have 5 children and 13 grandchildren. I need a higher power. I need help in my life. And I know for me, without going into it, if I hadn't have stretched out and said, yes, God, I want to know you, show me, then I wouldn't be here today. That's the truth of it. And the sad revelation and the sad realization when you go to leaders' conferences, when you speak with other pastors, is we're in a battle and many don't make it. So I want to thank you for your love and your prayers and your support, because without that, without people standing with us, then it would be difficult for us to stand. So thank you. And I said to the people I was fellowshipping with, I used to be 6 foot until I became a Christian. Just worn me down, but God wants to lift me up. So let's get into his word. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, it's up on the board there. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's lots of foundations that we can build upon. There's a parable that the Bible talks about. Let me just check my watch. There's a parable that the Bible talks about. It says a man, it's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. and a wise man that built his house on the rock. So get the pictures. Look what Jesus spoke in pictures. He spoke in parables. He would use what was around him at the time. He'd say, there's a field, there's a building, there's seed that's sown, this rocky path. And he said, there's two foundations. This man built a house on the sand, and it looked good. And this man built his house on the rock, and it looked good. And from the outside, the two buildings looked the same, if you picture it in your mind's eye. And then the wind of life came. The wind and the waves of adversity. Just imagine your life as that building. You think that you're building upon something solid, and then suddenly someone comes in and says, you can't do that. Who do you think you are? That suddenly your employer says, I don't need you anymore. Suddenly there's a virus in the world that says, you're going to kill grandma. You're going to kill your children. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And suddenly fear comes in, and the wind and waves knock that building over. That's our life at times. And Jesus said, that's the foolish man who built his house on the sand. But the wise man built his house on the rock. So when the wind came and the waves came, the same pressures come to us. Christians go through the same things. Did you know that? But we're built on a solid foundation. And what I want to say is, Scripture tells us what that foundation is Christ. It's not what I have done, it's what he's done. It's not what I do, it's what he does through me. You see, that's the foundation that we're talking about today. It's Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using silver and gold, silver, costly stones, hay, wood and straw, or wood, hay and straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Now, fire is what I want to talk about today. And when we look at fire through Scripture, it's good, bad and ugly. You know, there's preachers out there that will say, you're going to hell, you're going to burn. That's the fire. That's the hellfire. Now, Jesus, meek and mild, Jesus Christ, the little child, he grew up to become a man. But I want to show you what Jesus says, why he came and what he's going to do about it. Yes, there is a heaven, and yes, there is a hell. Yes, there is fire that will prove us, and there is fire that will consume us. God loves you enough to give you the choice to choose. That's the wonderful thing about this gospel. It's your choice. But it says this, that if you build, we're talking to Christians here. This message is about Christians, those that are followers of Christ, who profess Jesus to be Lord and Savior, who've actually said, God, I can't do this. And God says, good, I can. Invite me in. And those that are on a journey. But this is for Christians. What we build upon is important. But what we use to build with is also important, because this scripture says this, Christian friend, brother and sister, if you build on the purity of God's truth and his word, when the fire comes to prove us, just imagine you've got a pot of gold, thank you Lord, and the heat, the fire is heating it up, and what happens to that gold? It gets purified, doesn't it? The dross comes to the top, and you know the dross is taken off, and the goodness and the purity of the gold is left. Well, that's what this portion of scripture is saying. If you build with the gold and the silver and the preciousness of God's word, if you love the way that he loves us, and how does he love us? He loved us enough to lay his life down for us. That's how much he loved us, and that's what he's asking us to do for other people. Not my will, but your will be done. It's tested by fire, it's proved by fire, it will survive. But if we build on a false foundation, if we build on a false doctrine, if we build with false words, if we lie, steal, rob and destroy, then when that work of ours is tested, it will be consumed. Now the good news is, Christian, that we'll still enter into heavenly realms, but only just. But we will get there. Why? Because he loves us. And that's for the Christian. And as we go through God's word, he brings warning after warning, encouragement after encouragement. Through his word for Christian and non-Christian alike. Whoever wants to can come. So the question is, do you want to come? Not to me, but to him. In John 3 verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness. What on earth is that all about? So the Son of Man must be lifted up. What's we talking about here? Well, the nation of Israel was in the wilderness. They were going round and round because they made the same mistakes all the time. God says, there's a promise for you. Enter it. And through sin and disobedience, and that's what the Old Testament is all about. It's all about the fulfillment of the promise, yes, but the disobedience of God's people. They could have laid hold of the goodness, but they chose to grumble and to moan. This is God's people again. It says, while I was in the wilderness, if you look through the Old Testament, I can't give you the scripture reference, but it will be referenced there if you look this portion up. It says they were bitten by snakes because of their sin. And yet there was a way out. There was a snake that was made of bronze. It was lifted up. And the Lord said, whoever looks up will be healed. And then it says here that the Son of Man, which is Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God, but he's also the Son of Man. That means this. He's fully God, but fully man. He's God in spirit, but he came to dwell on earth to identify with humanity. So he knows what you're going through. Does he know that I'm going through tough times with my health? Yes, he does. Does he know that financially I might be struggling? Yes, he does. Does he know that there's times where I just don't want to be here anymore? Yes, he does. Many years ago, I was in a car and I drove that car towards a tree. Did he know that I wanted to keep going? Yes, he did. You see, God loves me enough to give me the choice to choose, and I choose life, not death. So we need to look up. We don't need to look up at a bronze stake, a snake, but we look up at the Son of God that was crucified for me and you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. This is the portion I want to read to us today. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is the heaven and the hell bit. This is where the fire comes in. For God did not send his Son into the world. Get this. If you've never heard this before, just take it in. Because if you listen to the false doctrine, everything you do will be wrong. Every time you do something, say something, it'll never be good enough because you can't stand up to the fullness of what the law says about you. Well, we're under a new covenant, and this is what Jesus says. This is what God says through his Son. For God, Father God, so loved the world, that's me and you, that he gave his one and only Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whoever, that's you and I, believes in him, Jesus, shall not perish but have eternal life. Life after death. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. If you're feeling condemnation, then Christ wants to take that condemnation away. Does that mean you'll never do anything wrong? No. Does that mean that you won't get things wrong and stuff things up in a human way? Of course it won't. But God keeps short accounts. He came not to condemn us, but to show us freedom, to show us love, to show us compassion. But there are two fires. God loves you enough to give you the choice to choose. In Matthew 13, verse 36, then he left the crowd and went into the house. This is Jesus leaving the crowd. Whenever you see anything in red, these are the words that Jesus spoke. I highlight things because of my eyesight and my dyslexia, and it just pops out with me so I can read it easier. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. Jesus, this is. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. If you take the time to look through scripture and you read through these handful of parables that we have in front of us, one of them is the parable of the weeds. And basically there was good seed sown in good soil. And then overnight, as the good seed sprouted, so the bad seed sprouted. And the servant came and said, Lord, did not you sow good seed in the field? And he said, yes. Well, how come there's bad seed as well growing beside it? He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Christ. That's Jesus. The field is the world. That's me and you. The good seed stands for the people of the kingdom of heaven, those that have accepted Christ as Lord and Saviour. The weeds are the people of evil, or of the evil one. Now, when we look through scripture, Jesus doesn't hold anything back. But if you build upon the Old Testament that says you'll never make it, then you'll never make it. If you build on the New Testament that says all things are possible, have faith, you build on the foundation of Christ, you'll realise when we talk about evil, you're either for me or against me, the Bible says. And the Bible is clear. It says it's either good or it's evil. It's either good or it's evil. So this word evil doesn't just mean someone who's depraved, someone who's an axe murderer, someone who would do things that you would never think of doing. Scripture talks about the evil one simply at times just being the disobedient ones. You see, if you're on the outside looking in, you'll never see. But if you're on the inside looking out, you'll see everything. When I became a Christian, I thought I suddenly had to give everything up. Had to stop doing this and stop doing that. And there was a long list that I thought I had to give up. And yet, the minister that was ministering to me, he said, "Look, Andrew, just stop." He said, "Yes, there's a lifestyle change. But allow God to do it on the inside. Because instead of you saying, 'I'm not going to do that because I'm a Christian. I'm not going to get drunk because I'm a Christian.' You'll go, 'I don't want to do this anymore. I don't know what's happening in my life, but I don't want to use that language. I don't want to go down the pub and get drunk. I don't want to womanize. I don't want to do these things.'" I never used to do all those things, by the way. I'm elaborating. I weren't perfect, by a long shot. But the point I'm making is this. When you're living on the shaky foundation, you're building it upon the old laws. I mustn't do this, I mustn't do that, I mustn't do that, I mustn't do that, else God won't love me. And if you build upon the rock, the foundation of Jesus, you say, "Well, you've died so that I could live. Lord, I don't want to do these things anymore. I want to give into your kingdom. I want to forgive others because you forgave me." See, there's a difference. Which foundation you're going to build upon? When God tests you by fire, and he will, whether you're in the kingdom or out, are you going to be the wood, the stubble, the straw? Or are you going to be the silver and the gold and the preciousness? That's the Christian. When he tests us by fire, are you going to be the evil one or the righteous one? What do you mean righteous? Righteousness comes not by what we do, but by what he's done. So you're saying to me, Pastor, that it's not about what I do, it's about what he's done for me. Yes, so why do I need to do anything? You need to acknowledge that he's done what the Bible says he's done. So scripture is simple, unless someone like me confuses it. But it is simple. It's saved by grace. The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Jesus. The field is the world, me and you. The seed stands for the people of the kingdom. That's the people of heaven. The weeds are the people of the evil one. The enemy who sows them is the devil. You see, there is a God, there is a devil. And so often when we look in our lives, and I've been saddened by many Christians that have said, "If God loves me, why did my family member die prematurely? If God loves me, how come I'm struggling financially? If God loves me, how come I'm in a wheelchair? How come I'm suffering with my health?" Well, God didn't say you'd be healthy, wealthy, but he wants you to be wise. And wisdom comes by looking and reading through his word, and then we'll realize that this life is but a moment. It's the eternal life that we look forward to. So that's the goodness of the gospel, isn't it? That doesn't matter for me if I die today or tomorrow, because I know where I'm going. That fear of death has been taken away because of what Jesus has done for me. So the harvest at the end of the age, that's when Jesus comes back, and the harvesters are angels. The weeds that are pulled up and burned in the fire, that's damnation. So it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man, Jesus, will send out his angels. The angels, we know what that means. And they will weed out of his kingdom anything that causes sin. Sin separates us from God. So what's sin? Well, sin, we hear words like fire of hell. We hear words like conviction. We hear words like sin and hell. And if we don't stand on the inside looking out, we won't understand them. So sin is this: simply missing the mark. I don't want you to put your hands up, but is there anybody that has never sinned, never missed the mark, never got it wrong, never said something they shouldn't have said? I don't think there is, but there may be one. His name is Jesus. That's the only one. See, sin is simply missing the mark. And yet when we hear that word, we think, "Well, I don't do them things. I'm not a sinner." Well, we miss the mark, don't we? The Bible says, the Bible's full of equality. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No one can pay the price. So what are we to do? Let's read on. They will be thrown into the blazing furnace. Ooh, we don't want that. That's bad news. Where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus doesn't hold any or pull any punches, does he? Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Yes, that's where I want to be. whoever has ears, let them hear. So do you hear what God is saying today? If you have ears, open them up. Let him speak to you afresh. Listen to this. This is true of quality. Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned. All of us have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. So you and me, we've all missed the mark. That's the equality. And fall short of the glory of God. But listen to this bit. And all are justified freely by his grace. What's grace? Glad you asked. Undeserved favour. Grace is, you don't deserve it, but I'm going to give you it. Somebody really upsets you. They do something they shouldn't have done, and you're in the right, but you choose to forgive them. That's grace. They don't deserve it, but you give it to them. Somebody asks for some financial provision, and you think, no, I know what's going to happen. You'll just ask me again next week, but I'm going to give it to you. Why? Because of the grace that's in me. You don't deserve it, but I'm going to give you it. That's what grace means. By his grace, through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. You see, there's a redeemer. If you go to a pawn shop and say, look, I need some money, here's my phone, it's worth £3.50, they say, I'll give you £1 for it. If you come back, you can redeem it. So I give them a deposit, I go back and I give them full payment. That's what Jesus has done for me and you. He's redeemed us. The wages of sin is death. Well, that's not good news, but the gift of God is life, and life in all its fullness. Now, that's better. That's what I want. But the Bible says all have sinned. So if sin separates us from God, what are we to do? I'm glad you asked me. Justified by grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, right standing with God. Because of his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at this present time, so as to be just and justify the one, and to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Let me unpack that. A little bit. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin separates us from God. So what are we to do? When you look through the Old Testament, and I'm sure even if you haven't read scripture, I'm sure you've heard that there's a blood sacrifice. What they used to do, they used to have scapegoats, and they used to have sacrificial goats as well, and sheep. And they'd sacrifice the sheep. And the blood of the sheep, the blood of the goat, the blood of the heifer would be an atonement for the sin of Israel. The Old Testament is about God's people being disobedient. And because of their disobedience, there needed to be the shedding of blood. Go right back in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve could have everything in front and they sinned. And yet there was an animal that was sacrificed in order to clothe them, to cover them. That's where the blood sacrifice comes from. There needed to be a covering. So you mean every time I sin, I've got to go and kill an animal? Well, they had to, but you don't. That's the good news. Why don't I, you ask? Thank you for asking. Because Jesus sacrificed himself for you. He became your atonement. He made you one with God. You see, sin separates you from God. Jesus, by dying on the cross, gave you a way to God through his blood. He doesn't have to die every day. He died once for all humanity. So if he died then, Pastor, I don't need to do nothing. Yes, you do. You need to trust in what he says. You need to believe that he did what he did. Well, how do I do that? By faith. Well, what's faith? Well, the chair you're sitting on, you've got faith that it's going to hold your weight. You see, we do things by faith all the time. If you're on the outside looking in, you won't see it. But if you're on the inside looking out, okay, Lord. So for me, Father, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I know I'm not perfect. Help me. I'm on the inside. I'm looking out. And I'm going, God, I don't like what I see. What do you see? My reflection in the mirror. I don't like what I see. Change me. I will. I'll purify you through my word. I'll cleanse you by my spirit. You see, there's a process. But without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. It says he did this to demonstrate his righteousness We don't have righteousness, but in Christ we do. You see, some people would say to me as a young Christian, you Christians think you're better than anyone else. And I go, actually, we're worse. Well, how come you're worse? Well, I know I'm a sinner. I know that it's not my righteousness, it's his righteousness. I get things wrong, but he's covered me by his blood. Lord, forgive me, and he does. That's the work of grace. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of faith in our lives. We need to trust him. Okay, Lord, I'm going to give you my life. Show me. There's biblical evidence, there's evidence around us that God exists. Because of his forbearance, he left the sins committed behind. The one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Do you have eyes to see? Which fire do you want to be tested by? The fire that will refine you or the fire that will consume you? See, God loves you enough to give you the choice to choose. That's the good news of the gospel. It's for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but all are justified freely through what he's done for us and what he's going to do in us. John 3:16, one of the most famous passages of scripture. Most people know this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever. Well, who's the whoever? That's you and me. You mean me? Yes, me. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. No, I don't, but he does. Yeah, but no, no buts. Whoever, that's you. Whoever believes in him, who's him? Christ Jesus, shall not perish, hell and heaven, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son, Jesus, into the world to condemn the world. I read this earlier. But to bring salvation to all who will trust him. All who will trust him. Do not let your hearts be troubled. In John 14 verse 1. You believe in God, also believe in me. There's many people that will believe in God. But Jesus says, believe in me. Because there's a way to the Father, and it's through the Son. Nobody comes to the Father, Jesus says, except through me. You mean I have to have faith in you? No, you have to have faith in what I've done for you. Trust me, and there's a way to God. My Father's house has many rooms. This is the good news of the gospel. If it was, were not so, would I not have told you, Jesus says, that I am going to be there to prepare a place for you. This is what we call eternity. This is what we call heaven. And if I go to prepare a place for you, what me, yes you, I will come back. Jesus is coming back for a victorious church. But he's also coming back to condemn. You see, the first time Jesus came, he didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save it. But he's coming back to judge. He's given us time. He's given us process. He's given us opportunities. And when he comes back again, it will be to judge, not to save. I will come back and take you to be with me. That's the good news. You also may be where I am. Then he goes on in verse 4 and he says something quite interesting. He says, he's talking to his disciples. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas, being the one person in the crowd that's going, do I? He says, Lord, I don't know where you're going. So how can I know the way? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Have you been the one person in the room that goes, I don't get what they're saying? Well, where are you going, Lord? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You want to get to God, you go through Jesus. Simple as that. So it's okay to ask the question, how do I get to you, Lord? Through his son, Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Just two more scriptures, please bear with me. Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. You see, as a young man, I felt condemned. I felt that I could never do anything right. I couldn't please anybody. I used to get things wrong on a regular basis because of poor eyesight, being short, being dyslexic. I had to grow up fast. I had to be either the one that was beat up or the one that would stand his ground. I'm not going to say any more than that. But I grew up fast. in the world, but not of the world, is what the Bible says. But I was in the world. Therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're feeling condemned, then in Christ, he washes away that condemnation. That's the good news of the Bible. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit, that's the New Testament, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's the Old Testament. See, the Old Testament says, you're never going to be good enough, you need to sacrifice. The New Testament says, you're never going to be good enough, trust me and I'll pay the price for you. It's the good news. In verse 3, for what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, humanity, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. That's why he came to identify with me and you. He walked on the earth, and there's evidence, biblical evidence, there's historical evidence of the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you're not just taking a leap of faith in the dark. It's built on substance. And not only that, when you accept Christ as Saviour and Lord, he gives you a deposit of the Holy Spirit that's in you. It stirs you. It's like you've got a conscience, but that's suddenly got bigger. You used to think it's okay to do that, and now you can't. You used to say that, and now you can't, and you wonder what's happening. It's Christ in you. That's an evidence. But you have to be on the inside, looking out, not the outside, looking in. Don't blame the fire. You see, I said to church a few weeks ago, and this is where this comes from, and talking to my friend, if you have a fire, you imagine, just imagine your fire there, and you put your hand into it, and your hand gets burned. Bear with me, I'm going somewhere. Do you blame the fire? Do you blame the match that lit the fire? Or do you blame the man that bought the match that lit the fire? Or is it your fault? I suggest it's your fault. It's your choice, wasn't it? So why blame God for what we've done? Why say, God, why have you allowed this atrocity? Why have you allowed that atrocity? Just look at the man's heart. It's full of evil. Well, how are we going to stop that? Let it be full of light, not full of darkness. That's the difference between the world and kingdom living. You see, God will work a work within us, but don't blame the fire. God loves you enough to give you the choice to choose. Going back, starting at that verse again. Therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit that gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's good news. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, that's us, the world, God did by sending his own Son, Jesus Christ, in the likeness of sinful man, as a sin offering. He paid the price for us. We need to have faith or accept or reject him. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law, the Old Testament law of sacrifice, might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, the world, but according to the Spirit of God that lives within his people. Those who live according to the flesh, the world, have their mind set on fleshly desires, worldly desires. I want to be rich, I want to be famous, I want to do this, I want to do that. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit that lives within us, hope you're getting this, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires and what God desires. The mind governed by the flesh, the world, is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit, Christ in us, is life. Not only life, but peace. There's not many of us that don't want peace. You know, people say to me, how can you be so cheerful? Everything must be okay. It's not okay. I suffer in my body. I suffer in my mind. I had a mental breakdown a short time ago. I suffer, the same as everyone else suffer. But it's not about what I see, it's not about what I do, it's about what he's done. You see, there's a hope. There's a hope. And that hope lives in me. There's a hope out there that will, you know, the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. The Bible says that there's a peace that transcends all understanding. When we talk about peace, we could conjure up in our minds that peace is where we're by a babbling brook and there's birds singing in the background, and depend on which way you look at it, your wife is bringing you blackberries, gooseberries, strawberries, and peeling the grapes for you, or the husband is bringing the wife and doing the same. This is so peaceful. That's not what God's talking about. Peace that transcends all understanding is when there's a raging torrent, when there's everything, hell has come to earth, when the workplace is just not an environment you want to be in, where family members are bickering, where children are screaming, where the economy is tumbling, where all around seems to be dark, but you know that your Redeemer lives. You know that to live is Christ, as Paul said, and to die is gain. That's peace. That's peace in the storm of life. And who don't want that? If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, then hear what the Spirit of truth is saying. Come. Come. Which fire? The fire that will consume or the fire that will purify? The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. We see it all around us, don't we? It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh, the world, cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, talking to his people, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. I'm gonna just stop there for a moment and explain something, just in case you keep hearing Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven unless you are born again. Nicodemus was like Thomas. He was a intellectual man, a man who would go, hang on a minute, I'm quite a big person and I'm not going to go into detail, but I don't think I can climb back up into my mother's womb and be born again. Fair question, isn't it? We hear things like this preached in churches all the time, and yet we don't ask the question. Nicodemus said, surely not, Lord. I cannot enter my mother's womb a second time. And Jesus said, listen, Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh. Your mother gave birth to you. But Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, gives birth to Spirit. Inside of most people, and I say most people, inside of all of us, there's something that we know is missing. And many preachers over the years have said there's a hole in our lives that's empty. There's something there that's just not right. You see, God knows because he created you. That's my belief. That's what the Bible tells me. Well, when we accept by faith that Jesus did what he said he did, what did he say he'd done? He paid the price for my sin. I then suddenly have invited him to come in and dwell within me. And he fits that God-shaped hole. And his Spirit dwells within me. That's what it means by the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, not my words, but his. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they're not been born of his Spirit, they do not belong to Christ. See, you're either in or you're out. That's fair enough, isn't it? You know, if you're a member of something, you're either a member or you're not a member. If you are part of a household, you're either part of that family or you're not. That's fair comment, isn't it? So why should we get upset when God says you're either for me or against me? You're either in or you're out. You can't be one foot in and one foot out. In Revelation, it talks about being lukewarm. You're neither hot or cold. I'd rather you be hot or cold, but lukewarm. I don't want you to be lukewarm. But if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death, and we know that because of sin, it decays, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness, a right standing with God, because we've accepted Christ as Saviour. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. It's not to the flesh, not to the world, not to live according to it. For if you live according to the world, the flesh, you'll die. You'll be judged by the eternal fire. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Confess your sin, Jesus forgives your sin, comes and lives within us. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear, but rather the Spirit you receive brought about adoption. Adoption. to sonship. By him we cry, Abba, Father, for the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, see, this is the truth of the gospel, we will suffer, in order that we may also share in his glory. God will be there with us as we go through tough times. I'll leave you with this final scripture, and we'll have our last worship song, and then please stay behind and have some refreshments and some food with us. Matthew 3:11. I baptize you with water. This is John the Baptist. Maybe most of us now, all of us have heard of John the Baptist. He had a little theme going on, didn't he? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me, he's talking about Jesus now, comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The fire we're talking about here is the fire that will cleanse us and purify us, that will make us righteous so we have a right standing with God because of what Jesus has done. I would like to close now, if I may, with just prayer. And there's a word that we're all familiar with, but I'm going to explain it anyway. It's the word amen. Amen. And that simply means yes. Let it be so. Let it be so, yes. You know, if someone says, this chocolate, do you want it? And you went, amen, you're going, yes, I would. Thank you. If it's good, if it's wholesome, if it's going to work in me and through me, then yes. And if it's not good and it's not wholesome, then don't. It's not yes, it's no, isn't it? See, God loves you enough to give you the choice. So I'm going to set you up today. I'm going to set you up with a yes or no question. But you don't have to say yes or no out loud. It's for each and every one of us. This message is for Christians and for those that are seeking. You see, God loved the world. That's me and you. He's not here to condemn us. He's here to set us free. So I'm going to pray a prayer, a simple prayer for us, Christian and those that are searching. And if you say amen, then it means yes. What I pray do you want for you? Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you rescued me. I thank you, Lord, that you took me from the fire of judgment to the fire of purification. I thank you, Lord, that you dwell within me. Lord, I pray that you would give me today that peace that transcends all understanding. Lord, I pray that you would give me today the ability not to fear the circumstances around me. Not to worry about what I will wear, what I will eat, how much money I will earn. Lord, give me the ability to see you in your fullness as the Bible teaches. Lord, help me to build my life on a firm foundation. Lord, help me to receive your revelation for myself. Lord, I don't want to just read about you, I want to know you. So I'm asking you, by the Spirit of Truth, to come and enter my heart, to forgive me of my sin, missing the mark. Show me, Lord, how much you love me. Lord, I want to ask your forgiveness for living my life my way, and I want to live it your way. Lord, help me to be the child that you created me to be. Help me to see and to love what I see in the mirror. Help me to be someone who will keep short accounts with others. Help me to forgive those that have offended me, because you've forgiven me. Help me, Lord, to be salt and light. Help me, Lord, to be revelation to others. Lord, build me up, strengthen me, that I may become all that you created me to become. I ask this in Jesus' name. And those that wanted to said, amen. Please stay behind and have some refreshment.